Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. And He made you and I too, and we were made for Him. So if we're not living for Him, we're living dysfunctionally. We're not living according to our purpose. Hallelujah. How many find it a great joy and delight to serve the Lord? Amen. And if you couldn't say amen to that, it's because you're not serving Him. Come on, somebody. Anybody that's really serving the Lord according to His will for your life, you're going to have joy in that. You'll have joy in the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know that it was the Lord's delight to do the Father's will? He says, my meat is to do my Father's will. In other words, He was satisfied. He was made complete by doing what the Father had called Him to do. Because, you know, again, God will bless what He approves of. And He always approves of His will. So we have to discover His will and do that. And as we do what He approves of, it's already blessed. So we're blessed in the will or the purpose of God for our lives. Amen. So how many would agree with me? It's very important that we discover the will of God for our lives, that we might be about our Father's business, even as Jesus says, I'm about my Father's business. And as He went away, He told His disciples, as the Father has sent me, now I'm what? Sending you. And He gave us His Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us to do the work that without Him we cannot do. People can do a lot of good works, but they can do good works without God. And whatever is done without God is a dead work. There's no lasting fruit in the thing that we do that we think is a good thing, but it's not God's purpose for us. So we need to discover the purpose of God for our lives, and do that because that's already approved of God, therefore blessed of God. And that is the blessed life. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because some people think, well, I'll just go down a list of things. I think I'll do this. I think I'll do that for God. Well, what is God wanting you to do? That's what you need to focus on. How many know you can spend yourself needlessly doing a lot of good things that aren't right things? The right thing is the will of God for you. So it's very important that we seek, that we might find and discover what God's purpose is for our lives while we still have an opportunity, while He's still giving us life and breath. Amen. Because the day is coming when every one of us in this room and everyone that's ever been born will see Jesus. Amen. We have our appointed day. There is going to be a court. Amen. And you, I, everybody is going to see Jesus Christ in that day. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make amends, to get it right, to forgive. Amen. And be forgiven. And to live out the will of God for your life, knowing that whatever you do in His name will never be done in vain. That should be a song. Whatever you do in Jesus' name will never be in vain. God always approves His will. And His word is His will to us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, the comforter, has come. And He will work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So what God does is God prompts us. God presses us in the Spirit. God will give us a desire for something, you know. And if it's the Holy Spirit, He'll keep on pressing you. He'll keep on pressing you until you finally say, okay, Lord. Sometimes God's given people a word that He wants you to speak out publicly. And we might be holding back and say, oh, I don't know, God. I don't know, God. This is where trust has to come in. And this is where we have to get over ourselves that we might be obedient to God. Because if we're self-focused, we cannot do the will of God. We have to be centered in Him. And it has to be about the mission. Amen. As Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And to give His life a ransom for many. So we're called to join Him, partner with Him in that mission. Amen. I want to see every one of you activated, if I may use that term, activated in your gifting. You know, living out the purpose of God for your life, discovering who you are in Christ, who He is in you, and actually living out that purpose. Amen? If you are living out your purpose, then I benefit. Amen? If I'm living out my God-given purpose, then you benefit. Because we're a body. We're members of one another. And so if every member of this body is functioning in its capacity, amen, then we're mutually edified. We're built up. We grow, amen, healthy and strong. Because somebody's not, if you will, sitting on their gift. I know somebody said sitting on your gift. But it means not doing anything with what God has given you. That's the interpretation of that, by the way. So let's discover the will of God. We have but a certain window of opportunity, a certain window of time left to us here. Amen? So let's maximize the moments, make the best of every opportunity. The days are evil, we know that. But where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. Amen? And there are many more with us than there are against us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? And so who we believe and what we believe is going to determine what we receive. And what we receive will determine how we live our lives. And then James said, don't be a hearer only. He said, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself. Amen. So today's message is called Believing God's Report. Believing God's Report. It's very important that we're listening to the right voice. And that we're able to distinguish the right voice. When God appeared to Solomon, he asked him, Solomon, what can I do for you? And he said, Lord, this great people is too numerous for me to handle. He said, give me a wise and discerning heart that I can judge between right and wrong. You see, you and I are incapable of knowing what's right and wrong apart from the Spirit of truth. So God answered that, and God was actually pleased with Solomon because he didn't ask for riches. He didn't, oh, God, give me a Mercedes. They didn't have them back then, but maybe one of those classic chariots or whatever, you know. He didn't ask for that, and he didn't ask for long life even. He said, Lord, that I might be a good steward over what you've entrusted to me, that I might be a good leader and be an example and be able to judge rightly or fairly. And so Solomon was given wisdom above any man, amen, ever. And riches, things he didn't even ask for, God gave him, because his heart was for the Lord and for doing the will of God. In Exodus chapter 19, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. And for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Who does it belong to? It doesn't belong to the globalists. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Verse 4, you have seen, you witnessed, you are witnesses of what I did to the Egyptians. God's reminding them that he is capable of doing anything. He can do the impossible. He's bigger than the devil, amen? He's bigger than the boogeyman. We don't have to fear our adversary. If God be for us, who can be against us? Is it true that God is in us? If we're in Christ, God is in us, and greater is the one that's in us than he that's in the world. The devil doesn't want people to know who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them. He wants us to live below our potential because he's a thief. So he said, listen, you saw what I did to the devil. Because Pharaoh represented the devil, amen? And the Egyptians, his minions. He says, you've seen how I overcame the devil. I've overcome the world. I've overcome, you know, the flesh, if you will. And they represented, of course, the sin nature. In Romans 8:37, it says, we in Christ are more than conquerors. through him who loved us. Why? Because the Lord is the one that conquered for us. On our behalf, he conquered. Amen? And overcame the world. And therefore, because the Lord has overcome on our behalf, we're more than that, because we simply enter in to what the Lord has already accomplished for us. In other words, he did the work for us. We just simply enter in by faith to receive the benefits of his victory. Is that making sense? So we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. God gave himself for us. God paid the price for us that we deserved to pay. Jesus overcame the world on our behalf. And so the overcomer dwells in the heart of the believer. And if the overcomer is in you, then you have the potential, amen, to by faith overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you're not to be afraid or intimidated by your adversary in any way. People are in fear today because the devil is like a big boogeyman. He's a big bully. And he's setting himself up, you know, as this big monster, just like Goliath did to David in the army of Israel. Amen. And he's trying to get people to worship him, to bow down to his agenda. And so he's good at name calling. Oh, I don't want to be called any names. So maybe I'll just comply to what he wants. I'll submit myself maybe a little bit just so that we get along and everybody likes me. How many know if you live for Jesus Christ, not everybody's going to be your friend? Let's just get over ourselves, okay? Amen. Let's live for the Lord and for his purposes and understand that if we are children of God, amen, that we're going to be different than the world. I used to be in the world, but I'm no longer in the world in the sense that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have a new identity. I'm a new person. Amen. A new creation that Christ has created. So as a new creation, as a child of God, I'm not going to be able to fit into the mold of the world anymore. And some Christians are actually trying to fit back into that mold that God brought them out of. And it's never going to work for you guys. You need to make up your mind. Don't be double-minded anymore, that I'm going to give myself fully to the Lord and to his will. Amen. For in that, you're going to find your satisfaction. You're going to find your delight in him. Amen. At the cross, Jesus disarmed Satan and all his demonic hordes and all the power they had. In other words, today, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, Satan no longer has legal authority over anyone who is a child of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Satan no longer has authority over any child of God. Because we belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. And therefore, we are heirs to the throne because of what Jesus accomplished on our behalf. And the Lord has given us authority as sons and daughters to represent him in the earth and his interests. In John 1:12, it says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia, the authority or the power, what, to become the sons of God. God is looking for sons and daughters, amen, not slaves. We are sons and daughters who get to serve our Father's interests. And we serve our Father's interest because we love him and we appreciate what he's done for us. Amen. And so out of gratitude, we say, Lord, I'll give myself back to you now to live for you the rest of my life. I've lived all my life for myself. But because you've redeemed me, because you paid for me with the highest cost, with your own precious blood, I'm going to give my life back to you to serve you the rest of my days. How many know that is, Romans 12, a reasonable service? That we will give our bodies back to God. Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in what? In the cross. This is what our Lord has done. He has stripped our enemy, remember, of his panoply, of his armor. That in which he trusted, that in which he was protected with, Jesus has stripped him of that. So our enemy is actually vulnerable to a child of God who is in agreement with the will of God. Are you hearing me? And so we have been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that we can use, amen, in agreement with the Holy Spirit to speak the truth, and the truth will always overcome the lie. And we have to demolish the strongholds that have been set up in the minds of people through lies and misinformation. How many know the devil's the master of misinformation? But thanks be to God, 1 Corinthians 15:57, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to keep saying it until we really understand something that's very vital and very important for us, and that I have to remind myself of as well. How many know that I need the Lord just like anybody else, amen? I'm just like you. We're just people, amen? And so the power of sin has been broken in my life. Are you in Christ today? Is Christ in you? Then the power of sin is broken in your life. The only power the devil has over you is that which you would give him by yielding to temptation. And you don't have to, because it's been broken. You have the authorization in Jesus' name to rebuke him, to resist him, and he will flee from you. When you submit yourself to God, then you're in a position, amen, to be able to rebuke the devil, and he will flee from you. In Romans 6:11, again, reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin. I'm dead to it. I'm no longer under its influence, under the domain, the dominion of sin. But I am now in Christ. I am alive to God. Amen? A new creation, born again, a new order. Hallelujah. Heaven's order, in Christ, the power of sin has been broken in my life. Therefore, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Take authority over it. Control yourself. Tell yourself what to do. How many know that God in Christ has given you the ability to control yourself? And to tell your body what it's going to do. Once again, your body is not your master. Your flesh is not to rule you. You are to rule over your flesh. You are to put it to death. So he says, do not present your members as instruments, verse 13, of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. In other words, focus on the do's. Focus on presenting yourself. Focus on submitting yourself. Focus on the will, the mission, the purpose of God in the new creation for you. Amen. So that you might live unto eternity. Amen. And store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Hello. Not wasting our time that God has given us. Amen. The opportunities that God has given us here. In verse 14, it says, for again, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I love this. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And in Exodus chapter 19, again, he says, you saw what I did to the Egyptians, right? And how I what? Bore you on eagle's wings. I love this. Now, where does an eagle soar? Remember, eagle soars, right? And high altitude, right? And an eagle has a different perspective than, if you will, a chicken. All right? And as a believer, if we've been saved, born again, we've been united with Christ, and we've been raised up together with him and seated in where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that we can have heaven's perspective on what's going on in the earth realm. Are you hearing me, somebody? So in the true sense, we're going higher when we go with Jesus, because he'll take us up above and give us a bird's eye view, if you will, an eagle's eye view of what's really happening. Rather than just being caught up in all the noise and the confusion and the propaganda and the news media reports and all the stuff that you're hearing and the fear mongering and all this other stuff, God says, I want you to come up here with me, and I want to show you what's really going on, and I want you to see what I'm up to. Because the Holy Spirit will also show you things to come. God's ways are higher than our ways. Jesus alone is the way to complete victory or deliverance. from the power and dominion of sin. It's only in Christ. It's not in my self-will. It's not in my ability to try to live holy. It's by the power of God that I can overcome. It's by the ability that God supplies that I can overcome this world. And only in Christ do I have that victory. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we have to rely upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we learn how to do that because God will allow you, hear me now, to fail over and over again until we finally come to the place where we say, Lord, you're always right. And I need to start listening to you now. Amen. Let's not be foolish. Let's not be stubborn. Why don't we learn from the mistakes of others? The Bible is full of examples of those who had their own way. Amen. And there is a way that seems right unto a man. That's right. But in the end is the way of death. And so we need to be wise. We can learn from the mistakes of others. I wish when I was younger, I had heeded some of the things that I had learned and things that I'd been taught. And even the examples of others, I saw other people, you know, falling into the ditch. And the next thing I know, I'm following their example and falling into the same ditch. Why didn't I listen to my instructors? You see, a wise person, once again, will learn from the mistakes of others. A wise person doesn't have to repeat that folly. Amen. They will say, I saw, and I used to hear other guys too. They say, you know what? I saw my friends fall into that trap. I saw my friends get into drugs or whatever, into addiction. And I decided I don't want to go there. I think I remember you even saying that. So even then, God was at work in your life, whether you realized it or not. God had separated you guys right beforehand, apart for what you're doing right now. Even though we weren't looking for him, it was the Lord that came looking for us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? That's God's heart. Hallelujah. It's not because we're good, it's because he's good. You know, if God has to deliver us from self-righteousness, he will. God's trying to get us over ourselves so we can be a vessel for him. You can't be full of Jesus and full of you. In Christ, we've been raised together. Again, Ephesians 2:4. But God, where's the focus on the Lord, right? Who is rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and what? Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. Is this something that we have to earn? No. You can't. It's not something you achieve. It's something you receive by faith in the promise that God has given to us concerning his Son, and that he has opened the way into the heavenlies. He has opened the way into the holiest. So today we can come with confidence before the throne of our Father's grace. Amen. By way of the blood of the covenant that the Father and the Son entered into on our behalf. And made it possible for us to come with confidence. Amen. Not based upon our own righteousness or goodness, but upon his. And our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You understand? That's where your freedom's at. It's by receiving what God has freely given you. Otherwise, you're always going to be striving to achieve and never able to receive. Because it's by grace and not of works, lest we should boast. This is making sense, right? It's not of works, it's of grace. And therefore, we have to come as someone who's just simply helpless and say, God, help, I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your strength for today, Lord. God, I need to make this decision. I'm asking you, Lord, to give me wisdom. And I believe, Lord, like you said, you'd promise to give wisdom to those who ask. If we ask in faith and we believe in nothing doubting, amen. He will give liberally. That's the way he is. So how is this possible? How are we united with Christ? Well, through the covenant that was established in his precious blood. Amen. We have been purchased with the blood of Christ, a blood covenant. That is a binding agreement. Amen. God is a promise keeper, guys. We break promises. That was the problem with Israel. Amen. They pledged to live for God, to serve God, but they failed over and over again because in themselves, they did not have the potential to live for God. Are you hearing me, somebody? And today it's the same thing. Even as a believer, you may start out in the spirit. You're not going to be perfected in the flesh. If you depart from the Lord, amen, in your heart and you're not relying on the grace of God, you too can fall back under the law in that sense, amen, and be defeated because you're trying in your own strength to live for God and it's impossible. Our faith needs to be in the power of God. Not just in the theology, but the God of the theology, who is the living word. He said in verse 4, I bore you on eagle's wings and what? And brought you to myself. This is what God did. He said, I'm the one that brought you to me. This is a work of grace. And so Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And again, covenant means to walk between the pieces. They would divide the animal in two, and they would come together and they would walk between the pieces. Amen. And there had to be the shedding of blood in that covenant. Amen. The strongest covenant, again, is a blood covenant. Even ancient tribal rituals, they will also do a cutting of some type. Amen. They will cut themselves and they will mingle the blood with other tribes and say, we're going to be united together with you. And that means if they attack you, it's as if they attacked us. And if they attack us, our enemies, amen, it's as if they attacked you. So they would pull together and they would make a binding covenant in blood. Amen. Now, how many know that's not necessary? Amen. And we're not supposed to do that today. But this is what God has done through Jesus Christ. He has brought us together. He has brought us to himself through the precious blood of Christ. Amen. We've been brought near because of God's initiative in establishing this eternal covenant. Hallelujah. So Jeremiah 31:33 says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Oh, that's the difference. It's not on tablets of stone. But God says, I'm going to, by the Spirit, I'm going to possess you with my Spirit, and I'm going to write on the tablets of your heart, if you will, my law. So you will know the truth because the Spirit of truth will be in you. And that's how we know when we're in Christ, is that we receive a new nature, a heart, amen, that is able to know what the truth is, and to discern the truth. And the teacher, the Holy Spirit, has come. Now, this relationship that God made, again, is not something that we had anything to do with. We have to understand this. This is what God did for us. It's called grace. Because we like to take credit for the things that we do and the victories that we have. But if we're going to do any boasting, let us boast in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And in what he has done on our behalf. For he's the one that has liberated my soul. He's the one that has broken the power of sin in my life. He's the one that has set me free from Satan, amen, and from his rule. It is to God who belongs the glory, amen, for the things that he has done. With his blood, he saved me. With his power, he raised me. And to God be the glory. Because human beings like to compete and compare. And we can get proud of our accomplishments and our how well we're doing. How many know that's the way to fall, amen, is to get proud of yourself. Proud of how well you're doing. The devil wants to come up and puff you up in your head and say, look how holy you are and how unholy they are. We have to get out of that mindset right away. Amen. Understand that it's only because of the grace of God I am who I am today. It's because God has saved me. It's because God took the initiative, amen, and God brought me to himself. Now, God gives me his power, amen, and my responsibility is to cooperate together with the Holy Spirit in this life. And in so doing, and in loving Jesus, I will obey him, and I will do what's right. But I'm living according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, not according to the law of sin and death. I have to come out from under myself and place myself under the authority of God. When I'm under the authority of God, I have the power of God available to me. The grace of God will work in my life. Amen. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. You'll have the authorization of God when you're under his authority. People who are under authority, again, have legitimate authority. As a believer, you may have been given authority, but you're going to be operating in illegitimate authority if you're not placing yourself under God's authority. And Christians can get into trouble too, because they can start going out and doing things on their own independent of God. Come on, somebody. Love for God will not come from striving to please him by good works, but by responding to and receiving his love for us. It's not what you can achieve. It's what you receive by faith. Amen. God chose this. The preaching of the word. Amen. That produces faith in the heart. That basically tells us what God has promised. Amen. And my faith in the promise of God sets me free from the lie of the enemy. I have to choose who I'm going to serve. I have to choose who I'm going to obey. I have to choose, in other words, who I believe. Because who you believe will determine who you serve. If you believe God, you believe his report, then you will serve God. You cannot say you have faith in God, amen, and not believe his word. You cannot separate the Lord from his word. He is the word. Love for God. His love is constant, but ours is not. But he said, listen to verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now, these are promises also given to national Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. But think about it. When you and I become one in Christ, there's no longer Jew nor Gentile. So the spiritual Israel is the church. God has given promises. Amen. There will be a millennial reign. But what he's saying is that when we come into Christ, we're united together in him who is the olive tree, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Jew and the Gentile become one new man in Christ. Amen. And so in that relationship, as we are abiding in the vine in Jesus Christ, then, amen, we are forgiven. And God says, I'm no longer going to hold your sins against you. I'm not going to remember them anymore. He says, I will forgive their iniquity. Now, listen. The reason why some people fall back and some people stumble and some people don't get to a place where they're actually living in victory or walking in victory is because the devil keeps lying to them and telling them that they're not good enough and that God has not forgiven you. Now, listen, none of us are good enough. None of us are good enough. Jesus is our good enough. He was good enough for us. Otherwise, we live in bondage to try again to achieve some kind of standing with God. And through even many times, people are giving themselves over to all kinds of works. But if that work is not according to the will of God, it is dead. It is empty. It'll have no fruit. You may be able to appease your conscience for a while, but the issues of your heart will not be settled until Christ comes to reign within you and you begin to be led of the Holy Spirit. You begin to follow, amen, the Spirit of God. In that is life and peace. Hallelujah. Not in myself, but in Christ I have peace. So God has made this relationship possible through the blood of Jesus' Son to bring us into harmony with him. And it has to do with what we receive, John 1:12 again, to as many as received him. And then in verse 13, it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Because the old sinful Adamic nature cannot please God. You and I, apart from Christ, cannot please God. Period. People throughout the world in all types of different religions are trying to do things to appease God, doing things to please God, doing things to earn credit with God in hopes that someday they can go to heaven. And it's bondage because they never know if they've done enough. When do you come to a place where you say, I think I've done enough good works now. The good works will outweigh the bad works. All right. And this is also deception to think that somehow if you do enough good works, you're going to save yourself. The problem is that the bad things you have done are going to witness against you. The word of God is going to witness against you in that day. If you have sinned, you have fallen short of the glory of God. You cannot be justified any way except through Jesus Christ and His blood, through His sacrifice. And coming in to the grace of God and receiving freely what He has promised us in the new covenant. Hallelujah. And that's where your freedom comes in. I'm free from me. I'm free from my own performance. I don't have to trust in my performance to somehow earn credit with God. I am now free to live with the Lord, to walk in a relationship with Him. And when you're walking in harmony with the Lord, His desires will be in you. He will work in you both the will and the do as you walk in the Spirit. Amen. You're going to automatically want to serve the Lord. And you'll find delight in doing that. You'll find joy in serving Him because you're walking in the Holy Spirit. You're not depending upon yourself. Come on, somebody. Whomsoever the Son sets free. Then He says there are conditions to a blessed life. If, now therefore, if you, verse 5, will what? Indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Now, let me ask you, how many here have obeyed this commandment to perfection? I just don't want to see any hands showing. Okay. Then you've broken God's covenant. Amen? We've all broken the law. The law demanded, Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Guys, I want to tell you today, and I'm being quite honest with you, that is my desire. But have I lived to that? And do I live up to that in fullness? I would say no. I am growing in the love of God. Amen. I am growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. I am, as the more I get acquainted with the Lord, the more that I love Him. The more that you know Him, the more that you will love Him. And it's not this mechanical thing I have to do or I get in trouble. It's something that you delight to do because as you're knowing Him and knowing how good He is, how worthy He is of your obedience. You understand? You're doing it out of love and out of gratitude and not out of law and obligation. When you tell your children not to do something, amen, they may obey what you're saying, but they may not inside be agreeing with what you're saying. You know, you may tell them to go sit down in the corner, but they may be standing up on the inside in the corner. Isn't that how it works? So what do we want our children to do? We want our children to see the love that we have for them. And the reason that we discipline and we instruct them is because we love them so much and we want them to grow and to be healthy and mature and productive adults. Come on, somebody. The Father wants the same for His church. He wants us to grow up and be healthy and productive. Amen. And loving one another. And so it's not a matter of, I got to do this or I'm going to get in trouble. It's like, Lord, I don't want to do this. Like I heard somebody say one time, they said, well, you don't get to get drunk anymore. You don't get to run around and do all these things you used to do. And the answer was, I don't want to anymore. I don't even love that. I don't like that anymore. I hate that. That all led to death. Hallelujah, man. It's so good to be able to get up in the morning with a clear head. To be free from that. Is God deserving of our love? Yeah. Okay. My love to God doesn't save me. It's God's love to me that saves me. Otherwise, we can say, well, I'm a pretty good Christian. You know, I remember somebody asking me that one time. We had a guest speaker. This is about 25, 30 years ago. I don't know, when I was in this one church and they came in and they said, do you consider yourself a good Christian? And I had to think about it for a second. I was like, no, I don't. Really, I don't. I know I'm not who I used to be, but I'm not who I'm going to be. Amen. I'm somewhere in the process. And so, again, guys, if it's our love to God that saves us, then we will be in a position where we're trying to earn something that is a gift. It is the gift of God. That's what the Bible says. It's very clear. So if I'm in a position where I'm just trying to, you know, to earn God's love by trying to love God, you can't love someone you don't really know. But to know God is to love God. And the more that you come to really know Him in the person of who He is, you will love God from your heart. Is that making sense? You can't love on command. The commandment was there to show us that we fall short of God's standard of perfection, that we're to love God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. Yes, that is our goal. We want to love God just like that, but you can't love someone you don't know. You can't even love somebody you've only heard about like that. God wants us to know Him. And when your soul is set free and when the Lord forgives you and when you become a new creation and you come alive, hallelujah, you are tasting, amen, the goodness of God, the love of God. And it's contagious. Amen. You just want more. You just want more of Him. And when your life is filled with Jesus, amen, then your life will be like Jesus. You'll express Him in every place. I love the Lord because He first loved me. It's not my love towards Him. It's God's love towards me that saved me. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Many of us didn't even know we were lost. Some of us did. But some of us didn't. We didn't know we were lost. We were just doing our own thing. Until God interrupted us one day. And the truth came in and exposed us. And we began to realize, amen, that we are sinful and we are lost and we're separated. And I'm in trouble because I will not stand in the judgment because I'm a sinner. And God in His mercy, amen, offers pardon. He offers forgiveness. He offers us a brand new beginning, a fresh start. Hallelujah. And that's the mercy, the goodness, the grace of God that we receive. And when you receive the grace of God, it changes you. Your desires change. Your passions change. What you live for is different. Your priorities are different. Now you want to live for Him. You want to love Him back the rest of your life. So I'm going to finish. Obedience, faithfulness, fruitfulness, they all flow from the heart of God. You see, the Pharisees could have claimed these things. You remember the religious leaders of Jesus' day? That I've been faithful, I tithe, I fast, I obey, I do these things, these good deeds. And therefore, they could probably claim some merit based upon what they did externally, the works that they did. But when Jesus showed up, He started to turn the light on. And all of a sudden, all the cockroaches got exposed. And all the dirt that was hidden, God began to reveal what was really in their hearts. And Jesus said, outwardly, you appear righteous, but inwardly, you're full of dead men's bones. Why did He do that? Not just to make them miserable, for them to wake up and realize that they're not righteous before God. That no one is righteous before God. The only way we can be made right with God is through the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to be brought into the new covenant, amen, and to receive the Holy Spirit of God, amen, that will be with us forever, who will then be our guide, who will be our teacher, who will show us the way, amen, and help us each day. Our Comforter has come. We walk in new life in the Holy Spirit. So the acceptable fruit, again, is the fruit that is produced in us by the Spirit of God. And you and I simply need to be a willing vessel to allow the life of God to flow out of us by cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not of me, it's of Him, but I have to cooperate with Him in it. So these virtues proceed from the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that's why John 7:38, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, not he who works for me, but he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now hear me. I've used this illustration before. But if you keep a dog kenneled up for a long period of time, when you first put that dog in that kennel, he may have tried to get out that kennel. He may have run up against that gate a few times, but after a while he realizes that he's not getting out unless he's released. If you leave a dog in a kennel long enough, you know, and if he's run his head up against that thing a few times, sometimes you can open that gate and he'll still sit there. He doesn't realize that he can actually go free now. Why? Because he has a slave mentality. He has a prisoner mentality. And so, listen, the door has been opened. The way to freedom has been revealed. Christ was crucified. Amen. Rose again on the third day. Hallelujah. Amen. And he sent the Holy Spirit. The price for our sin has been paid in full. Our freedom is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The door has been opened. But what we believe will determine what we receive. If you don't believe the report, then you'll continue to live as a prisoner. Even though Christ in his mercy has set you free, you can still live as a slave. There are many Christians that live as slaves because they don't know the promise of God. They don't know how to freely receive from God by faith in what he's promised. And instead they try to earn credit with God by doing good deeds. Now, good deeds should follow true salvation, amen, but not as a means to salvation. So, the power of sin has already been broken. Jesus Christ has already overcome the world. The freedom of God is available to whoever will believe and receive what God has promised. Our faith is in the power of God. Amen? Through our faith in what? The promise of God. By putting our faith, our confidence in what God promised, it will release the grace of God in your life and it will become your reality. We are receivers. We can't achieve it. We receive it by faith. If you want to receive a miracle, you have to believe what God said concerning his son. Amen? And that there is healing available through the blood of Jesus. Today, believe. And that's how you receive. Otherwise, we'll come to God with our list of did we do good enough or not good enough. And how many know what I'm talking about? If that's how you come before God, you're coming with the wrong motivation already. Because it's based upon you and not based upon the blood of Christ. So you can't receive, amen, if you're coming with your own merits before God. You come with faith in what Christ has done. It's the blood of Christ that sprinkles our hearts from an evil conscience. Amen? We receive that. So I'm believing because of Christ and what he's done, and his promise to me that I can receive today what he has freely given to me by faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Otherwise, the devil is going to continue to beat you over the head over your past and over your performance, and you're just not good enough. And so instead of you running to Jesus when you make a mistake, you run away because he's got you under condemnation. And you stay away from the light. But if you know the grace, the goodness, the mercy of God, and you know you have an advocate with the Father, when you make a mistake, you immediately what? Run to the Lord. Run to your advocate. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on his name. Confess. Amen. Renounce. And he forgives. He cleanses. And he says, it's settled. I'll hold it against you no more. That's the new covenant. Go free. Learn from it. Go and sin no more. Amen. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's always redemptive. It's always for the purpose of restoring us, amen, back to the place where we're in harmony with God again. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I just thank you today for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the work you're doing in hearts and lives today. Lord, that you've come to set us free and to keep us free. And by our faith in you, Lord God, we are made free and we are kept free. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. God, I thank you for the promise today that, Lord, simply as a child, if we come to you and ask, we would receive. You said, simply ask and you shall receive. So if you're here today and you feel like you need to get your heart right with God, why don't you just ask him to help you right now? Come to Jesus. He said, ask and you'll receive. Ask him for forgiveness. Say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my failures. Forgive me for my unfaithfulness. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I ask you to wash me in your precious blood. Lord, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to clothe me in your righteousness, that my trust, my confidence will be in your righteousness and not on my own. For I know that I'm not righteous, but you are. And only in you am I righteous. Thank you, Lord, that you declare me to be righteous because of the blood of the covenant. And Lord, thank you that you'll never leave me again. You'll never forsake me. You said, I'll always be with you. And we just appreciate you so much, Lord. And thank you for the body of Christ, for each one that's here today. Father, I ask right now that you'd break the yoke of the oppressor, that you'll set every captive free. Lord, I ask you right now to lay your hand upon your people today. Lay your hand upon us today. And I ask you to release your healing power right now. Lord, by faith we come to you. Faith in your name will heal the sick. And we declare healing right now to this body. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive healing today in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, I thank you for the promise of healing. I receive my healing right now. By your stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. I receive it. Lord, I thank you that there is forgiveness. If I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, I receive forgiveness of my sins today by faith in your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, Lord God, we just pray right now that you would break the yoke of the oppressor, set every captive free. Liberate anyone, Lord, that may be bound either by depression or fear or any of these things, God. Any spirits that would cause disharmony, Father God, in the hearts and the minds of your people. Any spirits, Lord, that would cause anxiety of the heart. Father, we just come against that right now in the authority of Jesus Christ. And we command all spirits, all unclean spirits, to get out right now in Jesus' name. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. We command you to go right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you right now for the healing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blood of the new covenant. Hallelujah. That has sanctified me, that has set me free from the power of my adversary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the body of Christ right now. Hallelujah. We bless you and we praise you, Lord, today. And so I declare liberty. I declare freedom to the captives this day in Jesus' name. Every binding spirit, every hindering spirit, I command you to go now in the name of Jesus. Loose them in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I receive my freedom, my deliverance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.